and a warm welcome to the Maven People Change podcast. This is the place to find thoughtful and heartfelt conversations about leadership and organisation development. Each episode is created with our listeners in mind, so if you have a suggestion for a topic you'd like to hear us talk about, please do get in touch with us. Maven are thought leaders in the area of leadership and organisation development and have a wealth of experience in this area. We have a thriving community and we offer regular free events. You can find out more details via our website, maven.co.uk. If you enjoy listening to this podcast, please do leave us a review on your favourite platform to help us grow our audience. Thanks so much for being here and we hope you enjoy listening. In today's episode, we are joined by Carolyn Parker, formerly Associate Director of Employee Experience at Moorfields Eye Hospital, but now a brand new Principal Consultant here at Maven. To give you the chance to get to know our new Carolyn a little bit better, I thought I would revisit our mini-series, Why OD? As I found last year when I asked our consultants how they came to work in this thing that we call organisation development, their own unique path into the field revealed some of their individuality and what makes them them. And Carolyn answered wonderfully. This is a great listen. Enjoy.
Okay, so with me today, I have Carolyn Parker, who is just joining us at Maven. So hello, Carolyn.
Hi, Claire.
So do you want to tell us a little bit about who you are and your current role and coming into Maven? And
Yeah, absolutely. So, as you said, my name is Carolyn Parker. I am currently an Associate Director of Employee Experience at Moorfields Eye Hospital. My background is mostly in the last kind of 10 years, mostly public sector, but I've been private sector as well. Outside of work, I am married to Ben. We've been together 20 years this year. And we've got a little girl, Kira, who will be 10 this year. And I've got a cockapoo called Roxy.
Perfect. So we're very excited that Karen's going to be joining us at Maven very soon. So I thought we'd revisit these kind of YOD podcasts as a chance to get to know you a little bit.
Yeah.
So when I started asking the consultants, you know, how did you get into this? I found it revealed a little bit of their kind of uniqueness of who they are, because all their journeys are quite different. You know, the fact that Tony was designing planes and Martin was working in the opera, and you know, so everyone's got their kind of different stories of how they found their route into OD. So yeah, that's what I'd like to ask you really is how you found yourself doing this thing that we call organisation development.
Yeah, so I guess to take it way back, first and foremost, I'm a failed doctor. By that I mean I chose my A levels based on the premise that I was going to go to medical school. So biology, chemistry, maths AS level and Spanish. And it became quickly apparent to me through my mock A-level exams that I wasn't going to get the grades I needed to get into medical school, and I had to rethink. And to be fair to me, at the time my dad was terminally ill, so I had a lot going on at home. But nevertheless, I kind of needed to rethink my plan. So it's a bit of a cliche to say, but not knowing what I wanted to do, I decided to study psychology at university, because I've always been interested in kind of why people are the way they are, how we behave, what informs that, this whole kind of nature-nurture debate. And it felt open enough that I didn't need to know going into it what I was going to do on the other side of the degree. And I chose to study at a university where we did a year in industry. So my third year, I went out and worked for a year. And that felt like a good opportunity to kind of have a year trying before I buy almost. And at the time of choosing, I had two options. I could either do a placement in forensic psychology, which I was really interested in. I really wanted to work in the kind of criminal justice system, thinking about rehabilitating offenders, or I could go into human resources. And it really came down to the simple fact of the placement in human resources was paid and the one in forensic psychology wasn't. And I couldn't afford not to be paid for a year. And I mentioned Ben. We were together at the time and we were getting, we're moving in together. So we had to think about, rent and all of that practical life stuff. So I went into HR. And that was my career actually for a really long time. So for the first 10 years of my career, I would characterize myself as a kind of HR generalist. So I was operating in roles as a HR advisor and then latterly managing teams of advisors and then became a HR business partner. But I was always paying attention to, particularly my business partner roles when I was partnering with executives and their leadership teams. I was always interested in how is this team working together? How well do they know one another, trust one another? And how are those relationships informing how the work gets done and what gets done? And so I would be curious about that. I would offer feedback and coaching to leaders on what I was noticing and encouraging them to think about not just what they were doing, but how they were doing it. And then I joined the civil service after I had Kira, and somebody said to me quite early on, oh, I think you'd really like this program that the civil service OD&D team were running in partnership with this company called Maven. So that was the first time I heard about Maven. And I joined the Advancing Your Practice program. And that's where I met James and Martin because they were the facilitators. And suddenly there was this whole field of practice that spoke to the things that I was paying attention to, spoke to the things that I was interested in. And so I completed the program. And at the time, Carolyn Norgate was in the civil service and she was kind of really doing some great work with her colleagues around the community of practice of OD in the wider civil service. So I got involved in those almost any opportunity I could to be in that community. And at the same time started working with, we had an OD team in the Home Office where I was. And I came alongside one of the consultants and we did some work together. And so when the opportunity came up to join that team, I moved into that team. And that's kind of, I suppose, where I found OD and how I got into it, having always worked in predominantly, kind of typical traditional HR roles up until that point.
That's great. So it's funny that your story is the first time you heard of this thing called OD. It was actually with Maven. So now you're saying before it's a bit of a full circle moment that you're now coming to join us because it was kind of It sounds like you're bringing quite a lot of experience with you from private sector and civil service, and you're currently in the NHS. So quite a varied background before coming in to work with us. So that's really exciting. So yes, the other question that I asked the rest of the team last year was the difficult question that we all find hard to answer, which is how do you define what OD is? And we all have that awkwardness when a family member or a friend at the pub says, what is it your company does? And we all struggle to find an explanation to answer that. And I think we all have our own ways. So how do you go about defining what OD is?
Do you know what? I think this probably changes depending on who I'm talking to and my latest thinking. I've never quite nailed the kind of elevator pitch of what is OD. Partly, I think, because the field is so broad and it takes influences from so many other areas. So I think that's one of the things that makes it hard to kind of say it's this one thing. But I suppose when people ask me, so what is it you're doing when you're doing OD? I kind of talk about how I'm working with individuals and with teams to help them think about how they can improve their individual and collective performance, how they pay attention to their relationships with one another and with other teams across an organization or a system, and how you create spaces for people to say the things that need to be said. I think in lots of organizational life, people aren't really saying the thing that matters to them, or they're not being 100% honest for a variety of reasons. So a really classic example, I think I probably was one of the things I noticed when I was a business partner, is the way in which you can sit in a leadership team meeting and ostensibly you've made a decision about something. We've all sat in the meeting and we've all agreed something, and then we walk out of the room and somehow that decision gets undone. Someone in a side conversation with you will say, I wasn't really sure about that, I don't really agree. And you're like, what stopped you saying that in the room? So I guess some of what I think we're doing in OD is creating a space where people can say the thing that needs to be said, that they can, that we can think about who gets heard, what is it we pay attention to, and what's the benefit of that, and maybe what's the, potential shadow side of that. So a lot of it, I think, is about relationships. But I also think it's about how we do what we do in a way that is, it gives us the best opportunity to get to realize and maximize people's contributions. So I was listening to another podcast. So I was listening to this series in preparation for us, and really resonated with something that Sophie said, which I kind of hold true as well. But we spend an awful lot of our waking lives at work. We spend more time with our colleagues than we do with our partners, our friends, our family, our pets, whoever. And so I'm really passionate about creating environments where people can thrive and realize their potential. And I think that's at the heart of OD. It's creating the right conditions for people to deliver the best work that they can in service of customers, service users, the wider public, whoever it is you do what you do for, which is not a particularly succinct way of putting it. And generally, if I'm talking to my family, they're a bit like, all right, but what do you actually do?
Yeah, and I think I'm going to get trouble. So, I've said this probably on a couple of the podcasts, but I think I struggle with making it not sound too, fluffy or hippie, because it's 100%. Like, oh, we want everyone to be happy, man. But but to the in service of the organisation, whatever it might be, being more efficient and effective, which are words that I know Sophie's not a fan of. Tony and Sophie have a bit of an in joke, but it is, if you improve performance, if you improve retention and people are staying and you're not having to replace them, and the knock-on effects for the effectiveness of the whole organization as well as for the individuals.
And I think in the same way that we can be accused in OD of being kind of a bit fluffy and a bit intangible, I also think we can be accused of using kind of having our own language. So even the phrase in service of,
yes,
really what we're saying is organizations exist to do something. In private sector, that's a product or a service that they market and sell. In public sector, it's services that we provide. The NHS exists in order to support the health of the population at large and to ensure that people have access to free healthcare at the point of need and to make people better. So, we exist to do something, and OD is about how can we create the right conditions so that the thing that we exist to do is done to the best of our ability. And as we do that, we hear a diverse range of voices so that, we improve the quality of our decision making, that we do it in the best possible ways while still paying attention to the fact that in order to do this thing that we exist to do, we deliver it through people. So we have to look after our people. So I guess that is, people will talk about, there's a very, at the core of OD is this value of being humanistic, really paying attention to the human experience. And I think that is something that I feel really passionately about. And I think that's something that OD really pays attention to, is as we do the thing that we're here to do, how can we do it in a way that is supportive of the people that are doing it, that creates the best environment and conditions for those people.
And I think that's something people can, I think that is kind of accessible in terms of, in fact, I was having a conversation with someone yesterday about when you get bad customer service, whether it be in retail or you're, you know, checking into a hotel, or it, and you can usually it shines through if the people aren't treated well and they're not happy in their job, then that shines through in the service that you then receive. And we've all experienced that, you know. The extreme would be sort of Basil Fawlty or something, you know, that kind of, like, they're not happy in their job, then you know, you can see it very clearly.
Yeah.
Okay, great. And then, so yeah, so this is a bit of a hard one to answer, but I think the other question that I'd pitch to some of the other consultants was, what does OD mean to you? So it sounds like a bit like when you discovered it when you're in the civil service, you're like, oh, that gives a name to that. Like you said, all these things that you've been paying attention to, or finding yourself, you know, another OD moving towards, that you're like, oh, it's got a name and it's this collection of things. And what keeps you doing, you know, you've obviously found it. I'm like, this is the thing for me, and it, you've kept doing it. Don't know if there's anything you want to say to that.
I think one of the things I love about this work is, so often in organisations, we are very busy doing, we're very task orientated, very outcome focused, and we're moving at real pace. And that's true in our personal lives as well. I think it's probably a facet of the society we lived in. There's this always on culture, and all of that is really valuable. So as I said before, organisations exist to do something, and it's important that they do those things well. I think when you do OD, what you're inviting people to do is almost to do the opposite of what they do every day. So if you're in an organisation that is fast paced and always on and action orientated, you're inviting people to take some time to take a step back, to pause, to reflect, and to connect with their colleagues. And I think what I love about that is it generally gives rise to new insights for people, or it helps them see something differently. It helps them pay attention to what's going on for them as they go about this work that they're involved with. And you can, ultimately, what you're doing is unlocking what is already within people. Kind of conscious that maybe sounds a bit cliche or maybe a bit soft, but it is about giving people space to make sense of what's going on for them and realize capacity that they have to influence a change in their environment, or to influence, or to the choice and autonomy that they have to maybe do things in a different way to the way that they usually do things, or the way that they feel they must do things because of the organizational structure and culture that they're within. So I really love that it gives people an opportunity just to pause and step back, because I don't think we have enough of that in everyday life. And it really centres, I was going to say encourages, it doesn't just encourage, it really centres the importance of relationships. And I think at our core, we all want to connect. We all have a need for belonging, and OD really pays attention to that and encourages others to do so. So I think it can be really transformative for individuals, teams and organisations. And that's been my experience. You know, what kind of encourages me to continue learning and undertaking development in the field of OD is that I have found that it has changed who I am as an individual and how I relate to folk in my personal life. And it's also significantly influenced how I show up in organisational life. And, you know, more recently, I've been in senior leadership roles, and it's really made me think about the responsibility of being a senior leader and what I pay attention to and the climate that I want to cultivate in the teams that I lead and the influence that I want to have across departments and across organisations, even if I'm not directly responsible for those teams. So it's, for me, been a kind of personal and professional learning journey. And I think that's what OD done well. It has that potential. And I think that's what you see in people. It kind of gives them an opportunity to step back and kind of reconnect sometimes with who they are and what's important to them, and show up similarly but amplifying some aspects of themselves and or differently, in order to be, you know, the person that they want to be, and at the same time to deliver their work effectively.
Yeah, and I think that's quite often the feedback that we get from our programs. So the programs that we run in the civil service, our masters and other programs that we run, I think people come on our programs expecting to be given, you know, some tools and, you know, probably shown some, you know, theory, and then what they don't expect is the personal development and what they gain from it personally. And so, you know, quite often the lovely feedback we get is that it's changed their work life and their home life, and it's influenced them as a whole. And, you know, they weren't expecting to kind of, you know, be taught how to do something, you know, in a classroom in theory, and then they're like, oh, actually it's making me kind of think about myself and how I show up and the influence I can make.
It's that whole ethos, isn't it, of self as instrument. It's that idea that actually the biggest tool in our toolbox is who we are and how we show up. And the more that you know and understand about yourself, and, you know, what you can bring to any situation, the more you can cultivate that in how you show up and have a positive impact and influence. And I think that's something, you know, I return to again and again. And the models and the theories are all, you know, they're all really important. But I think going on an OD program can be quite different to maybe some more traditional programs where you're kind of told, this is, you know, this is the way you do it. This is the model. Here's the kind of 5 steps to success to be able to demonstrate this skill. And that was certainly my experience, you know, going and going on to the Advancing Your Practice program, was nothing like what I imagined it would be like. And that's a bit unsettling, because it's very different to what most people are used to experiencing, I think. And it's a much richer learning experience for it if people are, you know, are willing to lean into that opportunity.
Yeah, definitely.
One of the things I miss at the moment is it's a really small team where I am right now. So I'm really looking forward to learning from other practitioners and learning with other practitioners. And I'm fortunate that I've known Maven since I did my program. I've then, you know, I've done work in partnership with a number of folk in Maven, and you know, I think we have a really great reputation in the field, and rightly so. And I'm looking forward to joining that and getting to work with folk who are brilliant OD practitioners in their own right, each with their own areas of focus and expertise. So that's going to be really exciting, I think.
Yeah,
lovely, thank you. So I guess,
is there anything else you want to add sort of around these topics and that you didn't get a chance to say? Or
no, I don't think so. Really enjoyed the conversation and looking forward to being part of the team.
Yeah, we're looking forward to having you. Okay, great, thanks Carolyn.
Thanks Claire.
Thank you so much for listening to us today, and we hope to see you next time. Take care. Bye-bye.